is Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
I'm not quite sure why it took from July to December 16th to write the rules and have a public hearing. And this is where I had a real, real issue with the Department of Revenue Administration.
And we are calling on the governor to ask for and immediately accept the resignation of the commissioner of DRA for wasting taxpayer dollars on this.
A few sounds heard recently here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse, the first being Tom Thompson at that DRA hearing last Wednesday on the LLC tax, Corey Lewandowski calling for the current commissioner's resignation. For 60,000 notices going out to owners of LLCs saying, guess what, you're now subject to this tax, which technically the rules are not enforced yet because they haven't been formally adopted yet. Although the law is in place for it to occur, the fact is it was a big waste of time and money that the Department of Revenue Administration engaged in very recently, because as was reported in the Concord Monitor, the department had to say, oh, just forget what we sent you. We'll update you later. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To reiterate some new developments that have happened within the last 24 hours, since you and I last spoke yesterday, Drew Klein confirmed with John Hayes, legal counsel for the Department of Revenue Administration, that this tax on debt financing that is going to apply to LLCs and partnerships is also going to apply to corporations. Now, how interesting is that? Because Governor Lynch had said, been saying all along, that this is an issue of fairness, which is why we're applying the interest and dividends tax to income from the LLCs, the owners of LLCs. And then they were going to tax the debt that is used to pay yourself if you want to expand your business. Well, now it's going to be applied to corporations. So for corporations who thought that this law was not going to apply to them, well, think again. One of the many surprises that are still coming out of House Bill 2, particularly this provision, this very controversial provision on the LLC tax. And then we have three more hearings that are going to be held, all of which will be in the North Country, none in Lebanon, none in Portsmouth, none in the Monadnock region like Keene, Peterborough, Jaffrey, none in Salem or Nashua or Milford or any of those areas where a large concentration of our LLCs are located, Manchester and the like. No. We're going to stick them up in Berlin, in Conway, in Plymouth. And you can find those days, times, and directions on my website at briantilton.com. Click on LLC tax, and on there we have updated stories and postings as they become available, interviews, information about the hearings, and ways to contact your legislators as well. And the common theme that people say, I don't know who my legislator is. Scroll down towards the bottom of the page right there. I made it as simple as can be, where it says find your legislator. Click on that. Click on the county you live in. Click on the town you live in. And there it is. It has the information for who your legislators are, your state reps, and your state senator. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. And I wanted to turn to a gentleman who has served as the Department of Revenue Commission, Department of Revenue Administration Commissioner for the last several years prior to Kevin Clarity, who's now in charge, Phil Blatzos. And he is involved with the Small Business and Small Industry Association, a brand new organization that's starting up, which we will tell you about at the beginning of next week. But I wanted to talk about this issue of fairness. And Phil Blatzos, it's a pleasure to have you here on Bulldog Live.
Hey, thank you, Bulldog. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, good. Well, you know, it's interesting because when you think of who is the state's chief tax collector, I don't think you have too many friends under normal circumstances, would you?
I would disagree with that. I worked with a lot of people, and especially even people from the North Country and all over the state, and I found they were very educating to me. They taught me a lot about taxes that I never would have looked at from an administrative point of view.
Well, that's good. Well, that's probably because you kept an open mind, huh?
Well, you have to. I mean, you know, there's never one size fits all.
All right. I gotcha. Well, you have been following this LLC tax issue for quite a while, and we've talked a lot about the details that are in this law. And, you know, like I mentioned a moment ago, the tax on the debt for financing an expansion of a business where you take some money out for yourself because that's being considered a dividend. We're talking what has been a personal, what has been regarded for many years as personal income is now considered a dividend. I mean, is this really closing a loophole and ensuring fairness in the system, as the governor claims?
First of all, I would totally disagree that this is a loophole. And, for many, many reasons, and I think if you sit down and examine it, but I'll give you a couple. First of all, let's look at a corporation, and we'll take a big corporation, and it decides to expand its business and purchase a larger building. So it would take funds that was available to itself and essentially form another corporation and put the property in that. That's just a common practice for, you know, legal protection. And they would form a corporation and spin off the money out of the original corporation, not spin it off, but loan the money or give the money to the new corporation, and it would have no impact. And I'm not sure how I can see how the corporation would pay a tax under the IND, because no corporation files under interest and dividend tax. So there would never be an interest and dividend tax implication to a corporation. So I'm not sure what they're driving at there. Now, we'll take the proprietorship now today, all right, that decides he's going to expand and buy a new building or buy his first building and expand into that building. If he does that and loans the money to that, that would become a dividend to him under the way they've just structured the new law. So to say that it was a loophole and there's fairness in this, I think should fall on deaf ears.
Okay, I hear you, because I understand that's what the governor's been saying. One of my listeners received a response from her state rep saying, pointing to two articles, one written by the incoming chair of the Business and Industry Association, which has been making a lot of rounds, as well as what one CPA has also written, by saying, no, this is just closing the loophole. And I've said, no, this has got to be a brand new tax that was created out of thin air.
Once again, it's not a loophole. And remember, you have to look at an entity in total. You don't look at just one little facet and say, well, this is a loophole. You look at the total tax impact from start to finish. And one of the things that I keep pointing out to everybody is you think about that large corporation that's paying a dividend. First of all, it's paying it strictly to a passive investor. Guy buys shares of stock, and he has no other liabilities, not involved in the business at all. He just gets a dividend check back. All right? You think about that, that's a passive investor. Now you take Joe the plumber who's running his business. Is that really a dividend back coming back to him, or is that the fruit of his labor or compensation? All right, and I think they're two entirely different things. And you can never go back and say this passive investor who has no liability, has no work involved in that business, can be compared to the guy who's in there 9 to 5, probably 7 to 7. Every day working on his business, and whatever he's achieving is the fruit of his labor.
I hear you there. Well, as this concerned business owner writes, she says, I continue to be very concerned about what is termed as reasonable compensation, as there is no definition for this beyond the wages stated on the W-2 worksheet that I have. This is a single owner LLC I'm talking about. Nor is there any explanation of all the accounting work that small businesses will have to do to justify if they ever go over reasonable compensation.
Yeah, that may be the part of this. You know, every one of these rules in the law should have a fiscal note with them. And that basically outlines what the cost is, not only to the state what revenue they'll get, but what the cost is to the state to administer this law and what the cost is to small business to do it. This creates whole new records that people have to keep, because they were talking about even going back 10 years. Think about this, all right? And is I think it was Representative Hess who was there, talked to an accountant and said, well, what would it cost to rebuild this record? And they said $40,000 to $50,000. I think he was only thinking of 3 years. Going back 10 years, if you think about it, you're only required to keep that federal tax return to keep those records for 3 years. All right? So these are records that may not even exist, and you have to rebuild them.
Oh, my
gosh. And going back 10 years, I mean, I'm not sure I can remember what I did for 10 years.
I'm not sure I could either.
And I was a W-2 employee just working for the state. So I mean, these guys remembering what they did for 10 years, and I think that 40 or 50,000 is low. It's much higher than that. And these are records they didn't keep before. I mean,
because they were not required to keep them previously.
Right, and they would have no need to.
Because that was treated as personal income, correct?
Right.
The state of New Hampshire did not tax until very recently.
Well, you know, compensation's always been there from the deduction, as a deduction since 1970. I mean, and it's fairly close to the federal. As a matter of fact, what happened was when the original business profits tax was passed, it went to the Supreme Court for review, and the court came back and says, hey, everything's fine here, except for one thing, that the corporations were entitled to a compensation deduction, and proprietorships and partnerships were not. So you had to give them a compensation to put them on a level playing field. So that's really the derivation of compensation and how it's treated. The problem here is, you know, you're allowed to carry compensation forward. In other words, if you're undercompensated in 1 year because the business didn't make enough money, you carry that forward, and that's where the real problem comes in. How do you go back 10 years and carry forward a number you never had to do before?
Mm-hmm.
And has real dollar consequences to these people. And when you start talking about who are these people, you know, when you talk about small business, which is what the SBSIA is all about, that's the Small Business and Small Industry Association, what it's all about is I actually went this morning and pulled out the vital signs, which is published by the Employment Security Office, and anybody can pull these numbers out. And I was wondering how big, you know, how many small businesses are there? Well, they're talking about the 35,294 businesses that they keep track of in the state. Of those, and this is probably the lowest definition of small business I've heard, but let's say fewer than 49 employees, that's 95% of all of the reporting businesses in New Hampshire.
Wow.
95%. And they account for 41.7% of all employment in the state. So you're literally talking hundreds of thousands of employees, at least 100,000, probably hundreds of thousands.
Holy
of people
cow.
Employed by small business. And we're saying, and I heard one person say this was a person who actually voted for this. Now, this is hearsay, so I'm not going to name the person. A friend of mine told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that everybody's trying to frighten small business, and this is a small number of people. Well, if you think 41.7% of employees in the state, 95% of the businesses is a small number, God bless you.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. Phil Blatzos, former commissioner of the Department of Revenue Administration, joining us. He's one of the board members of the Small Business and Small Industry Association, which we'll be telling you more about on Monday here on Bulldog Live. But we're first going over the details of this LLC tax. And, you know, one of the things, too, Mr. Blatzos, is the all this talk about, well, only a small fraction of the LLCs will be impacted by this. Don't worry about it. You're not going to pay. Everybody else is. But yet they can't tell you exactly who's going to pay. But yet they sure come up with a $15 million a year figure.
That to me is one of the most humorous parts of this whole thing. The IRS, which is the basis of all taxation, you know, all this type of tax, the business profits, the business enterprise tax, and actually, you know, the interest and dividends tax, even though it predecessors, it actually came on board before the federal income tax that came on in 1923. So all of these taxes here are based upon the federal. And the federal government doesn't recognize the LLC. As a matter of fact, no matter how hard you try and how much you look, you will not find a tax form that's labeled for an LLC. You need to elect with a federal form which type of filing you are, and actually that's how you file with the state too. For example, you can be an LLC and filing as a partnership here in the state, you could be filing as a corporation, or you can be filing as what they call a disregarded entity, which is nothing more than having everything reported on a proprietorship form, a Schedule C, for example, or an E. So there is no number. There is nobody who can go out on any computer system that I know of or have ever heard of that can go out and tell you how many LLCs are filing right now. Now, I guess it would be possible if you had a list, had a computer tape from the IRS with all of these elections in there to then attach that to your filing data and figure out who the LLCs who is actually filing a business tax return, who is an LLC. But I haven't heard any evidence of that. As a matter of fact, from numerous people involved in this, you hear every number from 10,000, mm-hmm. 20,000, which is what the estimate was based on, all the way up to 40,000. And I'll tell you right now, nobody knows. And nobody's done a viable analysis of this. And that means, when nobody knows, that means everybody who files who's an LLC will have, or a partnership for that matter, will have to, you know, create all of these records and go through all of these motions with those extraordinary expenses, all right, even if they don't think they have a tax consequence.
We are talking about extraordinary expenses to the business owners, but we're also looking at, well, a possible expansion of the government in order to enforce this new LLC law.
Oh, absolutely. There's only like 40, there was a year ago, only 40 auditors at the Department of Revenue, or thereabouts, just around 40 auditors. And they were largely focused on big business. They had very little, they had very little to do with the interest and dividends tax because everything was automated. That's all out the window with this. But everything was automated. All you had to do was match up to the 1099s and the 1098s that were filed with everybody. And we actually get computer tapes from the IRS that verified all this. And we could verify through their income tax filing, which we got from the federal government, and these tapes, how well reported the interest and dividends tax was, and all the compliance was highly automated. All that's out the window because the federal government doesn't treat it, doesn't have any of these provisions. So all that's out the window now. So a whole bunch of the effort will now have to be focused on compliance with small businesses, with small people, as opposed to going after the big people and looking at the big people where all of the big compliance problems have been.
Yeah, and I wanted to drive one more point home. I know you did touch on this earlier in our conversation. By the way, we're talking with Phil Blatzos, former commissioner of DRA, here on Bulldog Live, and in about a minute or two that we have remaining here in this segment. And that is the most states, as far as I know, all 50 states, basically follow what the IRS sets as income in implementing their own tax laws. And New Hampshire does not have an income tax like some other states don't, nor do we have the sales tax. But what we're doing with this new rule, the rules that they're still being debated right now, is that they are essentially redefining what the IRS considers as income.
It is a big departure from the Internal Revenue Service. Like one of the things I like to point out is a dividend from a corporation. All right, those are what they call qualifying dividends, and most of those dividends are qualifying. And the maximum tax rate they ever pay with the federal government is 15%. However, all of these things we're talking about for the LLC, all right, their federal tax maximum rate is 35%. So they're starting out on an unlevel playing field, and this certainly didn't help it at all. And it gets me thinking all the time that Governor Lynch has become the Grinch that tried to steal Christmas for small businesses.
As a layman here who looks at dividends, and I've, from my experiences in filing taxes, a dividend is considered unearned income. But yet we are applying the dividends, what we are calling dividends here in New Hampshire under this new law, is actually earned income. So the business owners are going to say, wait a minute, I earned that income. It's not unearned income that a dividend is typically considered as.
You're absolutely right. And that's where this becomes a big stretch. And like I said, the fairness issue goes out the window with all of that. It is patently unfair to.
Okay, I follow that. Well, Phil Blatzos, I look forward to chatting with you again on this issue and many others. And we'll be, again, educating our listeners more about what the Small Business and Small Industry Association is about and what they're up to and the developments of that as well. So thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on Bulldog Live and talk to you again.
Hey, and thank you. And just remember, this isn't just about small businesses, too. This is about passing tax laws at midnight. That affects every single citizen of this state.
Exactly, because this is what I fear is how they could get a personal income tax on the rest of us.
Oh, You know, think about it. The title of the interest and dividend tax is taxation of income. That's the title. So does that mean they could put an earned income tax on every single one of us in the dead of night with just a small group of people meeting?
Let's not give them any ideas, shall we?
You know what? You don't have to give them any ideas. They had the idea, and they acted on it.
That's true. That's what they did, and that's what we're talking about today. Well, thank you very much. Talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, you have a nice day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.